in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, writer of Hebrews is very clear about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And he says that's the habit of some people, but it shouldn't be our habit. It shouldn't be what we do. So this is a command that he gives, but that's under normal circumstances. This is the, quote, new norm now, right? And so this is extraordinary times in which we're trying to stay connected as a church. And let me just say that as we do this and we experiment with this on Facebook Live and maybe move into another platform later down the road, this is really no substitute for what happens in a service, in a worship service. An online platform is not a substitute for that. But this is what we're doing. This is what we have to do now. There's just something that happens when we're together as the people of God and worshiping together. There's just some dynamic that's present there that's not on, that you don't get with an online experience. But God's people have been in hard times. We've been in hard places before. God is faithful. He is sovereign over everything, even over coronavirus. He is sovereign over that. In His providence, He controls all. He is working things to His appointed end. So we need to be mindful of that. We need to be reminded of that as believers. As those who are in Christ, we don't panic. We shouldn't panic. We trust God. So, let me start. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me read this chapter. This is what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience, which you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope, that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted through us, or granted us through the prayers of many. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. Let's pray. Father, we do come, and we, as Paul writes this, we understand this comfort that comes in moments of suffering and peril and danger, and well, when we're not certain about things and everything that we normally expect to run fairly routinely, all of a sudden is shaken. Lord, you have a way of reminding us and getting our attention and helping us to understand when our focus is not in the right place. But when those times come, when times of stress, when times of panic, when times of peril, when times of danger, when times of, well, we're just not sure, and then there is a comfort that you give, and that is given to us through your word, and it's given to us through the working of the Holy Spirit. It's given to us in Christ. And that comfort, Paul says, that we've been comforting with, then we go and we comfort others. You have delivered. You will deliver. You will continue to deliver. And so, Father, we pray. We pray during this time as your people that we will take that comfort that you've given us. We'll love you, we'll honor you, but we'll also bring and use that comfort in comforting others around us. There are some that are beginning to hurt. There are some that are beginning to suffer. Whether it's from the virus itself or whether it's from the effects of what we're seeing, people that maybe have been laid off, people who are worried about income, people who worry about family, businesses, and all the things that go. It's all the ramifications. It's all of those things that are connected with this. And even some begin to worry about what will it look like at the other side of this. Father, we trust you. We do. And I pray that you help us to continue to do that. We have a great Savior in Christ, and these times, these things are not, well, your word tells us there is nothing that's going to separate us from your love. Nothing. Not a virus. Nothing. So we cling to that. We hold to that. Father, we long for the day when we're out of the presence of this mess. We're out of the presence of sin. Things like viruses and all the other stuff that goes on, the mess, the madness of a fallen world. We long for the day when we will be with you and we will see our Savior. And that comfort that we experience now through your word, through the working of the Holy Spirit, we see our Savior face to face and we're with him. We long for that day. But until then, just help us to bear up. Help us to stay faithful. Help us to stay trusting you. And help us to love our neighbor and care for one another. Father, you will see us through this. We know that. We thank you that in your sovereignty and in your providence, that there's a purpose and meaning behind all of this. We may not fully understand it. But this is not something to figure out what to do when we're down here waiting and just hoping that you're in control. We know you are. This is not random. This is operating according to your plan and purpose. And so we're thankful for that. We trust you in that. Help us to love you and stay faithful to you through this. But we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I just wanted to... When this whole thing kind of started, I was kind of reading through Job, and about the time this whole thing started really to break loose with the virus and all the, you know, the questions of what could happen, I was sort of at the end of the book of Job and was reading the very last chapter. Now, don't panic, because I don't want to equate, you know, the sufferings of Job and coronavirus in that sense. Only in this do I read the last chapter of the book of Job. It is that after a long period of suffering that Job experienced, he writes something incredible at the end of the book, something that he wouldn't have known at the beginning of the book. Although the beginning of the book, it starts with Job was a righteous man. So he knew God. But this is what he writes at the very end. This is the last chapter. This is what he says in verse. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you and make it known to me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now, my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. This last chapter, there's three really clear sections. In fact, after beginning in verse 7, God rebukes Job's three friends that had come along and had offered this, all this advice to him. And when we look at the first part of the book of Job, we see Job, and there's this strange event where God and Satan almost enter into this bet, almost enter into this dare, in which it was not like God's taking a chance with Job and God saying, oh, well, here's Job. Gee, I hope Job makes it. No, God knew Job would make it. God knew Job. So God wasn't taking a chance. And I don't understand fully all that was happening, God and Satan being in the presence of heaven and all that was going on. But what we do know is that all of a sudden, Job is thrust in the midst of suffering. He loses everything. And at the end of chapter 2, verse 9, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Just curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job's not an answer book when it comes to suffering. A lot of people want to take Job and say, well, let's find out the mystery about suffering. It's not an answer book. Job is really a preparation book. And it's in that sense that I want to just kind of look at the very end of the book of Job just quickly and draw out some things here, because we don't know where this is going, right? I mean, we don't know. I mean, we could wake up tomorrow and they say, okay, all clear. Everybody go back to normal. We don't know. It's the unknown that causes such a fear and sometimes in such a panic. There are people who are beginning to suffer. There are people in other parts of the world that are suffering. There are people who, quote, would come under the heading of innocent suffering. I mean, just think, someone giving their life on the front line of this thing, trying to care for those who have the virus, and they come down with the virus, and it's not like they're out there sinning and get the virus. You see, that's one thing about Job. We would understand Job better, and it would be simpler if Job started by saying something like this, that Job was worshiping idols, or Job was out there committing adultery. Then we would look at Job and say, well, Job got what he deserved, right? I mean, retribution. In fact, that's what Job's three friends come along, and that's what they want to say. Job, the reason this has happened to you is because you've sinned. So there's that long, lengthy, all the way from chapter 3 all the way to chapter 37, there's that long, lengthy give or take with these three friends and Job maintaining his integrity, and Job saying, I've not sinned, I don't understand this, and I don't know what's going on, but I have not sinned, and Job's three friends saying, Job, you have sinned, just confess your sin, whatever it is, just confess it, and that's the way we think. Bad things happen to bad people, right? We understand retribution. We understand if we sin. In fact, in the big picture of things, the soul that sins, in the very beginning, the soul that sins must die. The wages of sin is death. But yet, within the fallen world, and within God's providence, for some reason, He allows innocent suffering. Bad things will happen to good people. There will be good people who suffer during this time. Let me just say this, too, and touch on this, because a lot of questions come up, and I've heard a lot, and people have asked me a lot of questions. Is this coronavirus, is it a judgment from God? Well, within His providence, everything is working to His end. Everything is working to His appointed end. In fact, that's what we see in the book of Job. He is working all of this. Good, bad, He is working all of it to His appointed end. I mean, I do know that even in something like the coronavirus, is God using it to His glory? Yes, He is. Exactly how? I'm not sure. How? And wrapped up in that, how is suffering working to His glory? How did it work out for Job? How did it work to His glory in the life of Job? I don't know. I don't know that I could say, you know, yes, the coronavirus is a specific judgment of God. I will say this, He's getting our attention. Do we need our attention gotten? Yes, we do. I mean, have we turned away from Him in a lot of ways? Yes, we have. Is he trying to stop us and help us to see and focus on what's important? Yes, he is. Did he do that to Job? Yeah, in a sense, he did that to Job. When you think of suffering, it's, and particularly, again, innocent suffering, not retribution, but innocent suffering. We have to understand a couple of things here. Suffering falls within the sovereignty of God. It does. We're not into dualism. We're not in good versus evil, and, you know, the coronavirus is evil and God's good, and they're battling it out and trying to, you know, see who's going to win. Oh, we just hope that God wins. No, he's sovereign over the coronavirus. He's sovereign over all pandemics. He's sovereign over everything. This is his creation. He's the creator, and he's above that. So it's not like this dualism where God's battling out with the coronavirus and we just hope and pray God wins. No, God's sovereign over it. He's using it. Things like coronavirus, things in this fallen world, sin and death and all that already defeated in the death of Christ. When he died on that cross and was raised the third day, he defeated all of that mess. We're just kind of awaiting the full experience. We're awaiting the full reality of that victory. So suffering falls within his providence. God's still God, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of innocent suffering. There is such a thing as innocent suffering. And behind it all is God. We have to see that. We have to understand that. Behind it all is a purpose. Thinking through suffering does not prepare us for the actual moment it happens, does it? We can think through it. We can prepare. We can look. But then when it actually hits, it's almost like it takes our breath away. And there's that moment in which everything could be shaken. There's that moment in which we look and we think, what's going on here? I'm sure Job experienced that. Venting is not wrong. Job vents several times. He vents and cries out. So venting is not wrong. That emotion of crying out. And also we have to understand there's a mystery to all this. And I think that's what Job came to understand. This last chapter, this is his confession. Job answered the Lord and he said, and here comes this great confession. And the first thing that we notice about this confession is what Job says in verse 2. I know that you can do all things. There's this acknowledgement in the beginning of his confession that you are sovereign. I'm not. You are sovereign. And I think it's important to understand, we want the question why. I mean, if this thing continues and it goes, then we'll be touched in ways that we can't even imagine now that we'll be touched by the coronavirus. Maybe a loved one gets it, maybe something like that. And then the question is going to be why. Why did this happen? Why is God allowing this? That's not what we need to know. Job starts not by saying in this confession, I figured it out. God, you revealed it to me. I've got it. I know it. He doesn't start there. What he starts with is, you are sovereign. I know you can do all things. It's more important to know what God can do than just simply to get the answer to the question why. I know he can do all things. And if I know he can do all things, then I can trust him through this. I don't necessarily have to know why. Then he says, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Sovereignty and providence. There's meaning and purpose behind this. Again, this is not random. This is not some random act of a virus popping up randomly and disrupting God's creation. It's not a random act. There's a purpose, there's meaning behind this. In the Christian worldview, we understand time this way. There's meaning and purpose. God's moving along to an appointed end. So there's meaning in all this. If we can't see the meaning and purpose, maybe not the why of it, but yet we can understand this is not just wasted. God's doing something. He's always doing something. Is he getting our attention? Maybe. If we don't listen, then the scary thing is that what's next? I mean, I shudder to think about that. What's next? We don't listen. But his sovereignty and providence, there's purpose behind this. Then Job's so humble here because he says, who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I do not know, I did not know. Hear, and I will speak, I will question you and make it known to me. So there's this humbling that happened with Job. I'm not gonna involve myself with these things that are too wonderful for me, or these things that are high and I don't quite understand, which I do not know. Probably one of the things that he's here is he didn't get an answer to the question why. When God finally answers Job, he doesn't say, now Job, let me explain it to you. God probably could have given all explanation and Job still wouldn't have understood it. I mean, God could probably sit down with us now and say, okay, here's what I'm doing. Here's coronavirus. Here's what's happening. And explain and get detailed. This is what's going on. And we probably still wouldn't get it. So he doesn't answer Job by saying, here's why I did this, Job. Or here's what he answers Job. And he basically says, where were you when I created everything? He basically tells Job, stop whining. Shut up, I'm the creator. So for that reason, the book of Job moves us not in an explanation of why innocent people suffer. The book of Job moves us that when it happens, not if, it moves us to the area of trust and faith in God. No matter what, we trust Him. The very last thing in the first part of his confession, verses 5 and 6, I think this sort of gets to the heart of where Job ended up in all this. Again, remember, he's a righteous man. God very clearly in his word says, you know, Job's a righteous man, and this happens to him. And as I said earlier, it'd be much simpler to understand Job if it started by saying Job was an idolater, Job was committing adultery, Job was stealing his neighbor's stuff. And then we would go, yeah, Job got what he deserved. But I think verse 5 and verse 6, this gets to the heart of where Job ends up. Even though he knew God in the beginning. At verse 5, he says, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I had heard about you. And I think there's this play here going on between, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. There's something here of a deeper understanding that Job, he comes to this deeper knowledge of God because of what he went through. And Job comes to know God in a way that he never would have known had he not been through this. I think about when he says here that, but now my eye sees you. You think of the first chapter of John. You think of those that went, you know, that Andrew goes and, was it Andrew that goes and gets Peter, and he says to Peter after he sees Christ, and he gets Peter and says, we found him. Messiah, come, we found him. And later on, it's Nathaniel, it's Philip and Nathaniel, and the same thing happens. We found him. Come, see him. We found him. In other words, the one that we've heard about that was coming, he's here. We see him. John opens by saying to us that Christ, when he came, he disclosed to us, we see in him, we see God in him. The word became flesh, dwelt among us. The one that we had heard about, the one that we had read about, he's here. So I'd heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And then verse 6 ends with this, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job, with this experience, it doesn't fill Job with his pride to say, look what I've done, I've overcome. Job didn't go on a lecture circuit, he didn't write books, he didn't go on TV, he didn't go on Facebook Live and say, look, I've overcome. No, he didn't do that. He said, I despise myself. The closer he came to understanding God and knowing God, there's this sense in which we understand our own sinfulness. We see it throughout Scripture. And all he's left with is saying, I repent. I repent in dust and ashes. I think that's where this understanding of innocent suffering leaves us. And all suffering, really, it leads us in an understanding that we need to repent. We need to repent in dust and ashes. We need to be humble. Is God humbling us? I think he is. Is he shaking our very core? I think he is. Is he showing just how through some little invisible microscopic virus that only exists to replicate itself, that's its only reason for existence. And he can take something like that and bring us literally almost to our knees, to a standstill. We need to understand we are very, extremely vulnerable. And there needs to be repentance. This is what Paul says in 2 Timothy. And I'll close with this. We'll end with this because I think this is where eventually we need to be. Understanding Job saying, I heard about you, but now I see you. And this is what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says this in verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. I know whom I have believed in. Job knew him. And in the midst of innocent suffering that may come, that God may allow, I don't know. I pray he doesn't allow it in your life. I pray that he protects us from it. But if he allows it, that I'm going to know him. I'm going to continue to know him. And through that, as Job says, I used to just hear, but now I see. There's going to be something in which we understand more of God through that experience. And in the midst of all of it, I know whom I believed in. That's the question, isn't it? I mean, that's the real question here. Do we know who we believed in? Or is faith in Christ for us just something of the hearing? And it's never really been something that we've been changed from the inside out. Maybe God hadn't really changed a heart. Maybe God hadn't really opened the eyes to the truth of the gospel. It's just hearsay. It's just Sunday school lessons. It's just stuff that we grew up with and stories. And think of Jesus and, oh, what a wonderful man, a great story. And I've heard about it. But, no, do I know him? Do I know him? Do I know him in his death, his burial, his resurrection? Do I know him as Savior? Do I know him? As Paul says here, I know whom I believed in. I know him. And I am convinced that he's going to keep it all. It's all in his hands. He's going to keep it all. He's going to keep me. He's going to keep everything. See, that's where Job leads us. Job doesn't say, here's why this is happening. Job says, this is happening. Get ready. Prepare. And at the end of it, it's trust and faith in God. Knowing who we believed in. Seeing Him through this. If I can leave you with one thing in all this, and who knows, again, who knows where this is going? I don't know. I'm not a prophet. I can't stand here and say, oh, look, next week it'll be over. Or I'm not going to be a doomsdayer either and say, hey, hunker down, you know. It's the end of the world as we know it. No. I had some say, yeah, you know, I thought about this, of even bringing up Job, because, you know, you go through, several years ago, we went through the book of Job here, and you go through Job, and then all of a sudden people start suffering and this and that, and we started the book of Revelation not too long ago, and then all of a sudden coronavirus, and it's like, you know, have we opened up something here? I don't know. I don't buy into all that kind of stuff. It's God's Word. We look at it. We try to understand it. We try to live by it. It brings comfort to our hearts, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians there. And when He brings comfort to our hearts, let's comfort each other. Let's love God through this. Let's honor God through this. Now, all of a sudden, you may have time on your hands and, you know, can't watch sports or whatever. Read your Bible more. Read your Bible more. Pray more. Seek Him more than you've ever sought Him before. And let's love each other. Let's love our neighbors. Okay? Let's check on one another. My fear in this and trying to meet like this is that we lose connection here. I miss you guys. I miss what we do here on the Lord's Day. I missed it last week. I miss it this week. We've got just a few here and it's great and wonderful, but I miss you guys. I miss being together. This is the highlight of my week. This is the best thing that we can do. And yet, we're going to make the best of it as we can here. We're going to make the best of it. Try to bring encouragement. Innocent suffering, it will happen. But know through it all, God's still sovereign. And through it all, I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to stay with Him. You remember John, was it John 8, when Jesus is just lambasting the Pharisees and they all, his disciples start, or people that were following start falling away and they're going, you know, and they're stopped following Him. And Jesus looks at the apostles and says, you guys want to go with Him? Peter says, we don't have anywhere else to go. We're not going to follow the way of the world with coronavirus. We don't have anywhere else to go. Except to Christ. And that's where we're going. That's who we're going to run to. And it's going to be okay. We will make it. And at the end of it, we may have just heard some things about God, but through the end of it, on the other side of it, I pray that just like Job, we say, now I see you. Now I see you. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that we can honor you in the way that we respond to this thing. You know all things. We don't. So we are in a position to where we just trust you. And there's no better place to be than to trust you. And to trust you. I pray that in that you do a great work. You do a great work in this country. You do a great work in our hearts. You do a great work. You always are at work. You always are working. And I pray that through this, I know that you're going to receive the glory from this. And I pray that through this, that there could be a massive turning to Christ. That there will be some shaken to the very core of their being and they're looking. Everything they put their faith and trust in is falling apart. And then they will turn to Christ. That's what we pray for. We pray for people to come to Christ. We pray that the other side of this, there could be a massive revival that breaks out. There could be a massive awakening that happens in this country. We've prayed for it. We've asked for it. And if it's coronavirus that brings it, then glory be to you. Help us trust you in this. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Miss you guys. Miss everybody. We will be trying to get out some more information. I will do something again on Facebook Live Wednesday. We'll do it at the normal time. Probably do it from my house. We've got a way that I can do that there. 6:15, we may just come on and do a quick time of prayer together, read scripture together. Next Sunday, we'll be doing this again, and we'll see. We don't know how long. We don't know kind of in the unknown waters now. Let me say just a word of thanks, too, for there have been several that have helped make this possible. And one of the big ones, and I know he doesn't want any recognition at all, but Tim has been a great, tremendous help in getting this set up. And God provides. I was talking with someone, Dorinda, I think they've been, you know, I was talking to yesterday, and I think Dorinda just made the comment, you know, it's amazing how God provides what we need at the time we need it. And so thank you to everybody. If you have any needs, please let us know. If you get sick with a virus, please let us know so that we can pray. If there's anything we can do, let us know so that we can pray. We'll help. We'll try to check the best we can. If for some reason this thing really goes crazy and we can't even come up to the church next week, I will do something from my house. Okay? So we'll try to get that information out. Stay safe. Stay safe. Let's honor God. Let's love Him. And let's love our neighbor through this. God bless. Grace be with you all.